This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Tuesday, May 8th. I'm Todd Rogers. Coming up, Legal Issues in the News looks at the first foray into online video for the U.S. Supreme Court. We'll also have a weather forecast from AM 580 meteorologist Ed Keyser. First, a look at today's news. The Champaign County Board holds a special meeting tomorrow night to consider firing their supervisor of assessments. County Board Chairman Pius Weibel and Vice Chair Tom Betts both say they can't comment on the reasons behind the proposal to dismiss Kurt Diedrich. Diedrich himself couldn't be reached for comment. Diedrich was hired 3 years ago to oversee the property tax assessment process in Champaign County. Republicans at that time voted against him, saying the office's deputy director was more qualified. Last year, Diedrich was cleared of employee harassment charges, but the county board censured him for one of the incidents. And last month, the county board passed a resolution opposing changes made by Diedrich to the county's tax cycle schedule, changes that critics say could delay the delivery of property tax bills. Champaign County's Board of Health says it's been considering alternatives to its contract with local public health district. But board members say the now-suspended administrator of Champaign-Urbana's public health district hasn't helped the matter. The public health district board placed Vito Palazzolo on paid leave Friday for undisclosed reasons, and it's unclear for how long. The County Board of Health oversees health services for the county outside Champaign-Urbana. Most of those services are provided on contract by the CU public health district. Contract Subcommittee Chairman Tom O'Rourke says the board wants the public health district to pay more attention to its wishes. O'Rourke says Palazzolo was non-responsive to requests and didn't attend meetings of the County Board of Health.
So some of these have just raised concerns. However, I emphasize that we were looking at the contract before he even came on board. And recent events indicate that it was probably prudent to continue to look at the contract, and we will.
CU Public Health provides services for the county, including nursing and home health assessment, but the contract expires at the end of next year. O'Rourke calls it one-sided and says unless language in it changes, the board will continue to look at alternatives regardless of who heads the public health district. He says options include contracting with agencies like the Regional Planning Commission or Mental Health Board, or maybe teaming up with a neighboring county's health department. Champaign School Board has welcomed its newly elected members and chose Dave Tomlinson to be its next president, replacing the departing Margie Skirvin. AM 580's Jim Meadows has more.
Tomlinson says one of his top priorities will be getting Unit 4 out from under the consent decree in 2 years. He says the district is making progress on the components it needs to convince a judge to lift the decree, including rising test scores for African American students and the district's Schools of Choice program.
I look at the pieces of the puzzle that we have and the achievement piece. The facilities piece, the controlled choice program is highly lauded by the judge. And I think that we're doing really good on closing that achievement gap and continuing that. And if there's a more important piece than closing the achievement gap, I don't know what it is.
Tomlinson says to get the facilities the district needs, the Unit 4 board will have to come back to voters with another construction referendum next year. And to do that, he says the district needs to rebuild community trust. Tomlinson heads a Champaign school board with 4 new members who were sworn in last night. They are Greg Novak, Susan Gray, Christine Shalafu, and Scott McAdam. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
A recount finds the same result in the village board election of the tiny Champaign County town of Ivesdale. Veteran trustee Tom Kerwin asked for this yesterday's recount after he lost by 1 vote to third-place finisher Donna Gallivan for 3 seats on the Ivesdale board. County Clerk Mark Sheldon says Kerwin could let the result stand or contest it in court. Kerwin received 60 votes to Gallivan's 61. Illinois is offering its services to help Kansas recover from the devastation caused over the weekend by tornadoes. Amanda Vinicky reports.
When a state experiences a disaster like the Kansas tornadoes, it can request assistance through a nationwide system. Illinois Emergency Management Agency spokeswoman Patty Thompson says that prevents volunteer overload.
One of the worst things that can happen after a disaster is for people to just self-deploy there and show up on a scene and there be no organization as to, you know, how they can be used.
Thompson says Illinois has never had to request another state's assistance through the program, but it has provided aid. Thousands of Illinois responders were sent to help after Hurricane Katrina. Thompson says it's unclear if Kansas will require Illinois' assistance for its recovery efforts. If the state does send police, fire, emergency, or medical personnel, she says it will be reimbursed for its costs. She also says Illinois always makes sure enough people remain in state in case there's an emergency at home. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
Meanwhile, a bill in the state legislature may let Illinois public libraries limit what patrons can view on computers. Sean Crawford has that story.
The Illinois House has approved a measure that would force libraries to add internet filters, which are programs designed to block adult material from being accessed. Some already have them in place, but not all. David Rice, a Republican from the Effingham area, says taxpayer-supported facilities, like libraries, have an obligation to protect minors.
Is it going to be the prevention of all adult-natured material getting to our kids? No, but it sure is a good step in the right direction.
The concept of internet filters has been controversial. Many libraries oppose it, saying filters are inconsistent and can block certain subjects from legitimate research. They say each library should make its own decision. Before sending it to the state Senate, supporters removed a provision that would have fined libraries that failed to comply. The latest version would place state funding in jeopardy for those who don't install filters. I'm Sean Crawford.
For the latest newscast online, go to will.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. The Supreme Court a few days ago posted a video to its website. It's not YouTube, it's supporting evidence. Here's commentator Amy Guida with this week's edition of Legal Issues in the News.
I watched this really interesting video a few days ago. It featured a high-speed police chase shot in black and white, videotaped from inside a police car. Typical chase, car darting in and out of traffic for 10 miles, trying to weave away from flashing lights and sirens. They say that the driver was going at least 85 miles an hour until another police car stopped him by bumping his car in the back. The fleeing driver rolled, and he was hurt. He's now a quadriplegic. I didn't watch this video on a Most Shocking Police Chases television program. Instead, I saw it on the United States Supreme Court website. That's because the justices a few days ago decided a case straight out of one of those TV shows that features high-speed chases. The Supreme Court majority opinion fashions the case as one that asks whether an officer can take actions that place a fleeing motorist at risk of serious injury or death in order to stop the motorist's flight from endangering the lives of innocent bystanders. When they put it that way, that whole innocent bystanders thing, you sort of know how it's all going to turn out. And you'd be right. The justices decided that the attempt to stop the car under the circumstances was perfectly okay. Police had to do something, even though the driver's only crime to start was going 73 in a 55-mile-per-hour zone. Want proof that something had to be done? To quote the majority opinion again, we are happy to allow the videotape to speak for itself. And so you, too, can catch the video on SupremeCourtUS.gov. It's a Hollywood-style car chase of the most frightening sort, Justice Scalia wrote, sounding an awful lot like a blurb-hopeful movie reviewer. But what this review tells us is that it's now constitutional for a police car to cause a one-car accident to prevent other accidents when a high-speed chase threatens those not involved. Or, as the justices put it, a police officer's attempt to terminate a dangerous high-speed chase that threatens the lives of innocent bystanders does not violate the Fourth Amendment, even when it places the fleeing motorist at risk of serious injury or death. The justices rejected the speeding driver's argument that the bumping officer had used excessive force and that in doing so had violated the Constitution. That wasn't such a ridiculous argument. Courts have found in the past that police attempts to stop speeding vehicles by bumping, sometimes called precision intervention technique maneuvers or PIT maneuvers, do violate the Fourth Amendment as unreasonable seizures. In fact, that's what the courts in this particular case had decided before the Supreme Court justices got their hands on the video and opined that no reasonable jury could see it any other way but as a maneuver that was absolutely necessary to prevent additional injury. The video on the Supreme Court website offers us a glimpse beyond what the words in an average court opinion tell us. And the opinion itself gives us a new perspective on those most shocking police chases videos. The people who end up in the ditch after fleeing from police sometimes sue. After last week, we know the likely outcome. I'm Amy Guida.
Amy Guida is an assistant professor of journalism and law at the University of Illinois. Our forecast includes rain over the next few days, a slight chance. The chance will vary day to day. Across the two states today, though, a mix of clouds and sun with a few scattered showers and thunderstorms developing in the afternoon hours. The highs today ranging from 77 along the Chicago lakefront to 87 degrees in some parts of central Illinois. For tonight, meteorologist Ed Kieser says partly to mostly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms, lows ranging from 55 in southeast Indiana to 63 in western Illinois. And for tomorrow, mostly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms, and highs on Wednesday ranging from 72 along the Chicago lakefront to 84 in the south. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Tuesday, May 8th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, agricultural programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.uiuc.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.